She's our own. She's one of us. And I know when I see her, I see power. I see love. And that's an awesome combination. And most of all, I know that she is a spirit-filled child of God. So we know that the words that will come forth from her mouth will be God's anointed words and filled with blessings of love and light for each of us. Reverend Charlotte is a master trainer and a certified coach in the areas of health and wellness, strategic intervention, and forgiveness coaching. She has traveled the world speaking at Unity and Religious Science churches and facilitating workshops and personalized training specialty, specifically empowering women and young girls. She is the first vice president of the NAACP DC branch, executive chair of women in the NAACP. Reverend Charlotte has written several books, including her number one Amazon bestseller, Forgiveness, Heart Healing Stories from the Stubborn and Hard-Headed. The Four Ingredients to Spiritual Peace and the Business of Forgiveness. For our meditation and message today, let's welcome our own Reverend Dr. Charlotte Stokes Manning.
And I say peace be unto you. And we sure do need peace. You know, it's interesting, as I was thinking on my way over today, I spoke in this pulpit the weekend of Katrina. Isn't it interesting? There's a storm, a brewing. But in the midst of all of that, I was speaking with Chandra in the office back here, and we were talking a little bit about it, and I said to her, I'm going to quote you now. I said to her, Scripture says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And she so eloquently said, but God didn't say the weapons would not be formed. Powerful, eh? The weapons shall not prosper, but it doesn't say they shall not be formed. Deep, huh? Kind of flipped my whole mindset around what I was going to talk about today, because it's truth in that. When we look at what weapons represent to us, you know, it's not always, you know, a bow and arrow or a gun or something like that. Weapons are physical, emotional, spiritual, and visual. So even in the midst of all of this, we need to be reminded who we are and whose we are. My Most High don't live on Pennsylvania Avenue. My Most High doesn't make decisions on a Supreme Court. Who I am and whose I am allows me to walk in and understand that I am a child of the Most High God. That means something. That is not just something flippant that we say because our grandmother said it and our great-grandmother said it and, you know, we did the head action. I am a child. But when we get deep into what that really means and the power that goes with that, there is a way that you have to go about presenting yourself when you make that declaration. So you can't be ticked off just because You don't understand. I know my daddy is looking out for me. I know that. I may not understand the method, but I do understand that. I thought my heart could not be heavier after November 6th. But I learned something from that. I learned that I don't have time to wallow. I got to be about my Father's business. And if I believe, and I truly do believe, that there is an answer to this dilemma, I believe that. I hope it hurry up and get here. But I know that, you know, 1,000 years could be a twinkling in my Most High's eyes. And as my ancestors, as I look back on my ancestors and my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, I recognize that I stand on the shoulders of great women, supported by great men. But I also know that my great-great-grandmother, or my fourth great-grandmother, who was a slave, did not get to benefit from the things I'm benefiting from now. And I also know that our babies, grandbabies, great-grandbabies, and great-great-grandbabies will benefit from things that we won't experience. But I just got to know. And I believe from the depths of my heart and my being that everything's going to be all right. We are family. Yes, we are. And in the midst of our feelings, our drama, our upset, Philippa, we know that we can talk each other off the ledge. And Lord have mercy. We've had to do some talking. But you know, when you set up if you saw the movie Collateral, you remember how he was setting up all those dominoes and all of that. You know, look, when you hit the first domino, the speed is very slow or slower. But as the dominoes begin to fall, they get faster and faster and faster and faster. Till you go from click, click, click to click, 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 click. Does that make sense? So we are fast-forwarding to a lot. A lot of it we will see, and a lot of it we may not. But it's all good in the neighborhood. Don't forget that. I was reading something on the masculine and feminine energy, and I wanted to get a taste of or feeling about the energy, because the energy on the planet is so thick right now. It really is affecting the health and well-being of many people, especially women and people of color. You can feel it in your body. You know, your breath stops here. Because you wonder to yourself, what on earth could happen next? But then and only then, should we turn to the thing that teaches us the best and teaches us the most. The Word. The Bible don't lie. And if you can find a lie in the Bible, show it to me. But for every word in that Bible, we know that there are times of highs and lows and everything. We can only be happy and we can't only forgive when things are going our way. We got to understand, we've been through worse than this, and we're still here. There are two things I ask in the morning when I wake up. Well, a statement and a request. I say, thank you, because at 68, you ought to just be glad to be here. I say, thank you. And then I ask God, What would you have me do? And I realized that when I ask, God's got to give me the time, the talent, and the treasure to fulfill his mission. I can't be worried about other stuff. I can only focus on what God has for me to do. But be ye assured that God has got this. And every time you think something else is going to happen, just tell yourself, my daddy has got this. So I wanted to share with you the four ingredients to spiritual peace. And who knew that in 2019 I would be celebrating the 15th anniversary of my first book, The Four Ingredients to Spiritual Peace? Blew my hair back. My publisher contacted me and said, we'd like to do an anniversary edition, a reboot. Basically following the same principles, but maybe updating the stories. And talking a little bit about that. So in so doing, I had to go back and read the book again. And I was surprised at a number of things. I was surprised at how much I had learned from my own writing, how quickly I am able to forgive, the depths to which my faith has increased, the principle of gratitude and understanding, as you give, so shall you receive, and love. I've learned to love by first learning to love myself. And the more love I'm able to give me, the more I see that love in others. So when I was thinking about forgiveness, which I believe forgiveness and love are the cornerstones of everything else. You can't have faith, hope, charity, gratitude, any of that, if you don't have the ability to forgive and love. So every time you find yourself in a quagmire or you find yourself in a situation where things are not going your way, the first question you should ask yourself is, who have I not forgiven? Because there are only two emotions, love and fear. So if you're not coming from a place of love, you are coming from a place of fear. And the only way that you can return to love is to eliminate fear. And the only way you can eliminate fear is to forgive. When I started thinking about doing this, I got Bible scriptures, but I was trying to think of a story that would kind of resonate for all of us, regardless of whether you are into sports or not. And I thought about Tiger Woods. The highs and lows of Tiger Woods. And a couple of weeks ago, Tiger won his first PGA championship since 2015. So as I was going through this and I was talking about forgiveness, I went to the scripture lesson that said, it was Romans 12:21. And it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Tiger went through some stuff. Okay? And people turned on him like you would not believe. We know it. We saw it. Sponsors, women's activists, you name it. But Tiger knew something in the deep regions of his spirit, that if he returned to what he knew and how he was raised, that resonance, that love within him would see him through. Now, mind you, what Chandra said didn't say weapons would not be formed. It said they will not prosper. Now, isn't it interesting, metaphysically, that Tiger had these back issues? Weight. Follow me? When you ain't living right, the weight of the world will bring you to your knees. And he would go to his knees and not be able to stand up. His children had never seen him play golf, not in pain. Now think about that for a moment. He has back surgeries and all this other stuff. He returns to play because what? He's encouraged by other people to hurry up and get back out. You don't want to lose. But the spirit, when Tiger began to chant and pray and meditate and do those things again, he began to get his strength back. Everybody wonder, when are you coming back? When my body tells me to. Your intuition, your gut. So it says, be not overcome of evil. The weapons will be formed. Yes, they will be. But let's face it, Tiger could spend $1 million every day and still die a millionaire. So it wasn't about the money for him. You understand what I'm saying? It is the recognition, that spiritual connection that you have to the oneness within you. Tiger had to forgive himself. Sincerely, deeply, away from the media, deeply forgive himself. The book of Isaiah, well, you know, what I wanted to say was what we decided in rewriting this new book or the reboot of this book is we wanted to go a little bit deeper into what forgiveness, faith, gratitude, and love really represent. And we came to this conclusion that, you know, forgiveness is about focus. It's about making a decision, and each time you're pulled towards going back to what you believe to be true, that focus would bring you back to your center. Does that make sense? That even though you believe, it's easy to forgive, but it's hard as the dickens to forget. It's easy to forgive, but you got to work on letting it go, right? So when we go back and forth with these and we say, yeah, I forgave them and I'm over it and all of that until something familiar comes up and reminds you of that stuff and you see that it isn't as over as you thought it was. When everything's going good, it's great. You can walk around, I am evolved. I've forgiven. We can do that until somebody cuts you off at the knees again. So forgiveness is about focus. Faith is about clarity, getting real clear on who you're going to listen to, who you're going to pay attention to. The scripture lesson that I use on faith is Isaiah 30, 21. And it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Because you know what? You can fool everybody out here, but you cannot fool the Most High. All right? You can sashay about and believe that you know all of this and you can do all this and you can advise this person, that person, and the other, but truth be known, your faith is the clarity and focus of your life. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. You remember when Tiger, that 18th hole, when he basically had the match, or the, what do you call it, tournament won? He was almost stampeded walking toward the 18th green. People were screaming and taking pictures and videoing and all this other stuff. The very people who threw rocks at him less than 4 years ago. You see, we are fickle. You know, we have to remember, put back together all of those things that we say and do against our neighbor. Weapons may be formed, even if they don't prosper. He never said the weapon would not be formed. And the test of your faith, the clarity of purpose, is your relationship with God and not man or woman. Why do we believe everything that everybody tells us? Everything. Child, somebody can tell you, did you know Joe Blow did so-and-so? And you on the phone telling somebody else. Did you hear? We don't verify anything. That's why we've been bamboozled into believing all of this rhetoric that's out here now. We take everything that some of these people say as gospel. And I say, go to the book. Don't listen to that. And those that need to believe it, let them. You got bigger fish to fry. You got more business to do. I was watching Black Love last night. Love that show. And my boy was on there, and he was saying, you know, he was telling his wife something. She said, look, when I start talking to those people and our people, you know, those people meaning those that are on Pennsylvania Avenue, and those are people that are opposed to Pennsylvania, he said, look, I just tell them, you got your opinion, I got mine, and the two shall not meet. That's one thing we don't, my mom used to say, you don't talk about religion and politics. And Lord have mercy, ain't that true? Especially right now. Because we all crazy. Ain't but one person that's sane, and they live on Pennsylvania Avenue. All the rest of us are crazy. So I'm just saying, my father told me when I was very young that I was abnormal. He did. And I thought that was a negative thing. Till as I grew older and begin to realize that he was the one that was abnormal, I was all right. You see, we have to understand, we have to put words in the context that they apply to us. You can maneuver through the chaos and the confusion like doing a waltz, and nothing will touch you. Nothing will harm you. You just got to do you. I remember when we were growing up, we never ate out. Y'all remember that? And we had something different every day. Grandma would cook on Saturday, and we would eat for Sunday. We would eat Sunday. We had them leftovers on Wednesday. Okay. But it was something always different. Then we fast forward into the fast food time, and the majority of people now eat out 2 times a day. Get that?
You're not eating food that was prepared in love. You hear me? You're getting food that's being prepared fast. I would listen to my grandmother as she was making that gumbo, had a hand on her hip, and she'd be singing to that. Boy, you sit down and eat that stuff. I could never duplicate it because I didn't know how to get that amount of love and stuff into it. You follow what I'm saying? But there's an energy that goes into that. There's an energy there. Because we have to take back ownership of our lives. We got to stop giving away our time, our talent, and our treasures into casting our pearls among swine. We got to go back to those basics that, you know, you didn't need health care because you took care of your health. Don't throw no rocks at me. You didn't need to see a psychiatrist because the women talked across the fence. We had healing in our home because children shut up. They were seen and not heard. They didn't have no opinion. You start paying rent, then you can start offering an opinion. Okay? We have forgotten who we are. So this is a gift to us. You know, you re-gift some of them presents you get, but this is a gift. So when we get to the gratitude part, the scripture that I have is from the book of Luke 12:31, and it says, "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. Be not afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." But here's the deal. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide yourselves with purses that will never wear out. Because if you do these things, that empty purse, what's that scripture, pressed down, overflowing, okay? You got a purse that won't wear out, guess what? God's going to keep giving you the abundance that you give out. You can cheat your neighbor, but you can't cheat your God. God's going to get his 10. Y'all need to know that. He's going to get his 10%. So you might as well give with a kind heart and know that you will receive 2-3 times that. But gratitude is be present for your presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, gifts. Be present for your present. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't appreciate a gift when it's presented to you, if you focused on something else. You see, you got to be present with your presence. Because those gifts that are given to you so that you can support the ministry that God has sent you to do. God sent you here specifically to fulfill an obligation that only you can do for him. That's why this finger, you put your nail that you work, this finger right here, this little thing can open doors. Did you know that? Put your finger on there, can punch you in, your finger or your thumb, imprint. Because you have the only imprint like it. Make sense? Let this finger guide you. Be ever reminded that you are here specifically to fulfill what God sent you here to do. Your only job is to know what that is. And you can't do that minding somebody else's business. not only minding, but mining. You all digging all into other people's stuff? When you should be over here cleaning up your own. I said this after November 6th, I said I got 4 years to clean up my stuff. Because right now I'm not paying attention to none of that. So this is where I get my mind, my body, my strength, my understanding ready. Although 30 days now, we got 30 days. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. And the last one is love. Love is my favorite because I just now seek people out that just love. Loving your eyes. You know, they look in your eyes and you can see the joy and peace and happiness in the midst of chaos. You can be the love. You can gift love. And you don't have to speak it. People can see the light of love surrounding you. I now make it a habit at least once or twice or three times a day to take the escalator down in the hotel where I work and just catch the eye of somebody. I don't say anything. Just look in their eye and send them some love. You can do that. And the more you do it, guess what? The more you feel it. The scripture lesson for love is Mark 12:29, the greatest commandment. It says, Jesus replied, "This is the most important. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. No commandment is greater than these. And no one would experience hate or hardship if we simply obeyed these two things. So as I start thinking about the four ingredients to spiritual peace and how much I have allowed those four simple principles to guide my life, I am so much better with them than I was without them. And I now have a means and a way to revert to those things when I find myself slipping or falling back or making a judgment. I ain't perfect by no stretch of the imagination, trust me. But I've also recognized, as they said in the movie Evan Almighty, when you ask God for courage, God gives you things to be courageous with. So when we ask for forgiveness, we must also be willing to forgive. Focus. When we want faith in the Most High, we must be clear and on point. Everything we do on purpose. Clarity. Gratitude is accepting that everything you give, everything you receive is done with ease and effortlessly. You don't have to fear about not having enough. Your God is always sending you gifts. That tight hand is keeping you from receiving. You got to give to get. And love. Love is God's grace personification. And you can feel the grace rain down upon you every time you love. And when you find yourself in a space of gratitude and love, there is no fear. There's no worry. Life is what you make of it, not what you allow others to make it for you. So I have the blessing and the gift to be with you again next week. And next week we're going to talk about forgive. And I have started, with the help of my sister Cynthia Henderson, I am planning an FU boot camp next year. Now, where you go with that? Where you go? Tell the truth. FU means forgive you. See? 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 Now, you know I can't tell them the other one. See what I mean? It wasn't me, it was y'all. You all. But forgive means face your fears, organize your thinking, release, reboot, renew. Give. Gratitude is a essential part of your evolution. I is intuition. Listen to what? Listen more, react less. V is value all those things that you've experienced, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because they are very important in your evolution. And E, be enthusiastic, because enthusiasm sends out an energy to the world that vibrates, and people can see when your energy is low, you can't have a miracle. You have to be enthusiastic and realistic and understanding and knowing that there's no way, no how, you cannot manifest whatever you want in your life. Be enthusiastic. Be 24 karat gold, Bruno. Get you some music to get you up and going in the morning. You don't have to go to the gym. You can turn on some music and raise the vibration in your body. So we're going to talk about forgive next week. I am always blessed, and I am always grateful to stand in this pulpit. I've learned so much, more than Reverend Sylvia even knows, from her. What it is to stand and be a beacon of light and hope and peace in the midst of a storm. She's the best we could ever hope for in a time like this. So I hope I've done her proud, and I hope to see you next week. Blessings.